Shaa peretria se beruede. Shaa peretria se beruede. La hurie ta guita ta ta te. Que la mirila tu e glut vane. Thank you.
Per. This is Inkstud's online online only interview with Anders Nilsson about what's it called? The Game?
The Game is the title, yeah.
The Game, which is your piece in the new Kramer's Ergot Book 7, the mammoth tome that will be usable either as book or surfboard. Actually, I don't think it'll be very buoyant, will it?
Maybe for a minute until it gets waterlogged.
There we go. So, the piece is a little bit of a departure for you in technique, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's all painted, which was very time-consuming and difficult to do. I mean, I basically had to I penciled the whole thing, which I don't usually pencil when I'm working just in ink, but I penciled the whole thing, and then to paint it, I would have to go back and, like, every, you know, like, say, the angel's wings, I'd have to paint the angel's wings in every single panel, just because I would mix the color once and then paint it everywhere it appeared, and then I'd go back and, like, you know, do the angel's hair and do that in every single panel. So it became sort of a long, fairly tedious process.
Laborious piece?
Yeah, very laborious.
Did you feel you kind of had to step it up for this project?
Yeah, I mean, for sure I wanted to do something that would, you know, be up to the level of everything else that I expected to be in there. But it's also... just, it's like, it's a forum, and it's because it's so big and because it's in color, it's just an opportunity to do something that I wouldn't ever really have the opportunity to do. To paint a piece and have a place to put it that, mm-hmm. that, you know, can kind of showcase it. It was a great opportunity. So,
how big would the original be on that one?
How big were the originals? I think they were like 19 by 22 or 23, something like that. Just not a ton bigger, but somewhat bigger than the pages of the book.
So tell me about the story. Where did this come from? Because it's a little different than most of the other stuff.
Yeah,
just as far as the interaction of the characters.
Well, that's a good question. I guess I did some stuff years ago. Actually, when I was at school at the Art Institute in 99-2000, I did a bunch of doodles. I had this sort of painfully incomprehensible art history class with a super sort of, I don't know, this teacher who really was not very good at communicating. I think he was really smart and had really good ideas, but couldn't make anything that he said make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a lot of doodles in that class, sort of responding to stuff that he said or making fun of him or whatever, or just, you know, completely on other topics, whatever. And a lot of that stuff ended up actually in as a sort of sketchbook section in an issue of Mo. And there, you know, it's just something that came out of my head. It was this image of an angel pickpocketing a guy that was, like, collapsed on the floor or on the ground. And that has sort of become an image that I've used in a bunch of different contexts. I did painted versions of it for a couple of foreign language editions of collections of my work, and played around with. I did a cover for a Canadian magazine with an angel with a machine gun leading another angel that was in an orange jumpsuit and with a hood over his head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of, I guess, you know, it's not. It doesn't have any sort of one-to-one symbolic meaning for me, but it kind of deals with the political and religious situation in the U.S. You know, it's just like the hubris of religion and the hubris of the Bush foreign policy sort of intertwined, and the idea of unswerving devotion to your ideals or whatever. And so, I don't know, so that sort of idea of this angel who is, you know, an angel and on the side of good or whatever, but sort of having a slightly more complex effect on the world or interaction with the world than she really realizes or than, you know, might be suggested. I don't know. So it was just sort of, you know, it seemed like this character that I've kind of used in single images was ripe for a little sort of allegorical piece. And I had done some other standalone images of a cherub with also with a machine gun, and I just thought of putting them together as mother and son.
Okay, I wasn't even realizing it was a cherub. The copy I'm looking at is a PDF, so everything's kind of a little blurry when I get too close. And then you've got the, what is that, a walking elk? I'm trying to...
Right. Well, another child. And I mean, it's like, you know, these characters that they encounter that they're supposed to, whatever, kidnap, or I don't know what. It's just like they're coming at the world from their own, you know, mindset and their own sort of set of, you know, the angel is this kind of archetypal Western religious character or whatever, and, you know, it works the same way the other way around. And I think there's something interesting to me about, it's like angels are this sort of higher, the idea of a higher being that sort of mediates between humanity and the divine. But in a sort of odd, for some odd reason, they're depicted as being half human and half animal. You know, they've got bird wings. And so it's interesting to me to work with, you know, these African characters and put an antelope's head on it. And it, from a Western perspective, I think it can kind of come off as being like sort of scary or weird to have an animal head, but then it's like, you know, how is that? I just think the play between that and the our sort of acceptable animal human hybrids are sort of interesting.
The use of anthropomorphism.
Yeah, right.
No. Now, Big Questions Number 11 just came out last week, and I was very happy to see it. And then, since it's been a while since I looked at them all, I kind of browsed through all the past ones, and it's quite interesting how the story is going. How much further can we see with Big Questions? It seems like it could either be ending up soon, or it could just extend further and further.
Well, I just actually finished thumbnailing the rest of the story. And I haven't counted up the pages yet, but I don't know. I'll be hard-pressed to get it into two more issues. I think it's more likely going to be three more issues.
Now, how has the story changed since you first started it? Did it take you in the direction you expected, or did it augment itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten a lot more complicated and involved than I really anticipated, but I also didn't really anticipate much. You know, when I started, I didn't really know where I was going and didn't have a plan or much of an idea. You know, I sort of had a vague sense of it being, you know, maybe a 100-page story or a 150-page story or something. And I had a rough sort of outline in my head of where the, you know, these different points of the story would. And that has, to a great degree, consistent. Like, a lot of the main kind of plot points have remained. But they've just gotten more, you know, there's just more layers around and between them. More texture, you know, there's just more stuff happening, and characters have been introduced that I didn't anticipate and stuff. So, you know, it's just kind of grown and changed, and I've never, I mean, I will be very happy when it's done. I'm definitely, like, ready to have it out and into the world.
How old were you when you started the storyline?
How old was I?
Yeah.
25? 26? Something like that.
It's been going for how many years? It's quite interesting to see the progression in the storytelling of your
own. Well, you know, the first issue of Big Questions came out in 1999, so it's going to be 10 years next year.
Mm-hmm. Do the first two issues really have much to do with the storyline, or is it...
They don't really. The second issue has a little bit. I think the characters of Lewis and Morris and Algernon appear in the second issue, like, you know, as themselves, with the beginnings of sort of the seeds of the storyline. But it really doesn't coalesce and come together until the third issue, where everything sort of changes, and it becomes a single story.
And the epic.
Yeah, right. You start to get the feeling for the grandiosity of the story.
One thing I've been noticing through all of your more finished work, not necessarily the monologue pieces, there's definitely a theme developing through it all, that kind of haunted sadness in the characters, and like some of the fine art pieces you're doing too. Are you developing something in that context of these like similar figures?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I feel like that kind of stuff is sort of like, that's just the, for whatever reason, that's sort of the raw material that I have. In my brain, like, that's just how what I do comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, it's not something I'm necessarily trying to go for, but it does also come out of sort of my, I don't know, my worldview, just the way I sort of see the world.
Yeah.
Not that I'm, like, a sad person.
You're a skater!
There's plenty of reason to be pessimistic about the world. But I also don't... It's like, I want to present that without... or in addition to sort of the other side. Like, I don't want to just declare that the world is a messed up place and then put the end on the end of it. Because I don't think that's, you know, real or honest. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm working on some pieces actually right now, some drawings and paintings right now that are, I think, are a little bit more hopeful or upbeat, and I'm kind of like wrestling with whether I feel like that's as honest or as effective or whatever, or why I'm compelled to do that right now. I'm not really sure. But
do you find yourself shifting more to doing more fine art pieces than comic stuff, or is it a balance?
I have been lately. I've had, you know, part of the reason for that is just that I've had opportunities to show it. So, you know, if somebody's asking me to put on a show, then I have a reason to do some large drawings, which is, you know, what I did a lot when I was in college and when I was younger, and so it's been really nice to go back and kind of do these standalone images and just, you know, finish them and be done. And I think because Big Question got them for so long, and I feel like I'm nearing the end, but like I just said, I think I might have three more issues to come. it's nice to just sort of be able to do something and let it be. But I think that I think I am really drawn to storytelling too, and it's not that unusual for a standalone image to sort of simmer for a little bit and then yield a story the way that the game happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's just part of the whole the comics idea too, right? These images are stories. We just happen to throw word balloons in.
Everything I do is super narrative. You know, there's always like some sense of something having just happened or something being about to happen, and mystery that's not quite resolved or whatever.
Yeah, and that's what I get a feeling when I look at your work, is it's definitely like thematic of there's commonalities in those pieces.
Right. So,
any chance of any of those being collected so folks can purview them?
The like drawings and paintings and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
No plans at the moment. I mean, I can for sure see doing a book at some point. I don't have any plans at the moment. It feels very much to me like I'm learning how to do it again, because I did that a lot. I did a lot of standalone drawings and paintings in college, but I didn't have any idea what I was doing. And then I stopped for a while, and now I'm coming back to it, and I'm feeling really at sea, especially with painting. I feel like when you have spent 10 years just drawing with black lines on white paper, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with color and value and scale and all this stuff, it's just like, I feel like I'm trying to reinvent the wheel idea. And then I look at, painters that I admire or whatever, and I'm just like, wow, I should just give up. This is ridiculous.
No.
But, whatever, I'm compelled to do it.
Now, you do have some more stuff coming out soon, too, don't you? You've got another monologue book coming out from Fanta?
Yeah, Monologues for Calculating the Density of Black Holes is going to be out in January, I think.
All right. Any chance of seeing another End Coconino book?
No, probably not.
No.
I don't know. It's something that I'm just sitting on right now. I have, there is material. There's enough material for another book, but it's just not a subject that I want to go back to right now.
Yeah.
It may be that in a few years I will feel like there's enough distance that I can just kind of put it out and not feel like it impinges on my real life. Mm-hmm. Anymore, but at the moment, no, it's probably not going to go anywhere.
Well, the one book was probably one of the more emotionally raw things I had read in quite a long time.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine it being the easiest book to compile.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much I want to go into this, but
no.
I don't really have a problem putting it together. I mean, I feel like, as an artist, it's bordering on the sort of psychologically painful to not put it out,
Yeah.
It's like, I have this work that I like, that I feel like, is probably worth seeing, but on the other hand, I just feel like I don't want to, I just don't want to sort of revisit that,
mm-hmm.
that stuff. Not so much in my art, but just in my life. Like, I just don't want to sort of be dredging it up. So.
In a complete change of topics, are you going to be part of any of the Kramer signings that are happening?
Just the one in Chicago. I had kind of hoped that I might be able to accompany them on the tour for a little bit, but it's just not possible, so I'm just waiting until they get here.
I know in the previous tour it was you and Sammy and Josh and Simmons and Jeffrey Brown, was it?
Jeff did a couple of dates. Who else? David Heatley, Lauren Weinstein, Ron Rigi. Went on most of it.
Good road tripping.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was great.
Well, I look forward to seeing the full big copy of the game. Because it's pretty gorgeous, and I like seeing that you're working with stuff in color. Because I guess it's just the muted tones that you're able to create, and kind of goes with the subduedness of the story.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm. It's tough because I really like how it came out, and I really like working with color. But I don't love working with computer color. Like, I don't like coloring stuff in Photoshop, and I don't like the way that turns out for me. And mostly, I just don't enjoy doing it. It was such a labor to do it, you know, fully painted, so I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I would love to do, you know, full color book at some point.
One day.
Yeah, someday.
I would be happy to see it. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Anders.
Yep, absolutely.
And as per usual with the Inkstuds, please send two song requests.
Oh, all right, I will.
So I can mix them in. And thanks so much for joining me, and I hope you have a swell autumn day.
Yeah, you too, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
All right, talk
Bye.
To you later, Robin. Bye.
That was Anders Nilsson, and we were just discussing his story of the game, and as well as Big Questions and a number of other pieces. He is one of my favorite cartoonists right now, and I think he should be yours too.
Concrete will.